figure out enough to take up the time. I don't know if I talk faster or if he's just deeper in the word than me, but he's got a lot he's got to cram in, and I got to try to stretch it out sometimes. But let's open up with a word of prayer tonight. Lord, we just look to you. Lord, we know that your will be done within this place, Lord. And we know that if we come seeking your face, Lord, that you're going to give direction within our life, Lord. And you're going to use people, and you're going to point the path that you have designed for us. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, tonight I want to talk a little bit about becoming a useful tool for God. How many want to be used by God? I mean, when you see God working through people and doing ministry, how many of you crave to have those gifts and talents within our own life? I mean, you ever seen people that are just walking in the authority of God, and they're just, God is working through them and using them as a useful tool, and we truly desire that. You know, I know a lot in my life, as a kid growing up, I got to see a lot of really godly men. You know what I mean? And you got to be a part of a lot of miracles and a lot of things happening, and you always wanted to be a part of that. It was kind of awe-inspiring, but you know, sometimes we feel that as believers, maybe we don't have this gifting or we don't have this calling. You know, but how many of you know that most things are created? They're not just made. You know, I mean, they're just not there. They're created. You know, I think often the time when I take guys camping and we're out in the woods and I'm walking around in the woods and we're looking for firewood. And a lot of guys that have never spent time in the woods, they're like, I don't understand what you're looking for. There's a tree right here, and there's a tree right here, and there's a whole forest of trees everywhere. And he says, well, what are you looking for? And I say, I'm looking for something that just doesn't happen naturally. You know, good firewood, it's made, it just doesn't happen. You know what I mean? We cut down a tree that's live, we split it, we stack it, we season it, and then it becomes good firewood. In nature, most of the times a tree dies off and it becomes rotten long before it'll burn naturally. So good firewood is created. Even though there's a forest of trees, it can be difficult to find something naturally. You know, and sometimes that's how it is in the things of God too, is, you know, we want to believe that these gifts just fall out of heaven on people and it's a natural thing for this guy to have more talent or for this gal to do this better. But it's something that's created within our life. And I'm going to look a little bit tonight. How many of you have seen that show called Forged in Fire? Oh, I like that show. I've probably watched every episode, maybe even a couple of them sometimes. But it's a competition show about blacksmithing. And they bring these guys on and they compete. You have set amounts of time to make something, and then they compete with the things that they made. And it really opened my eyes up to this forging process. And that's kind of what we're going to make some comparisons tonight about. You know, if we want to be a useful tool for God, God wants to do a work within us. How many of you have you ever, I like swords and knives and those kind of things. I guess I'm a guy, maybe that makes it more interesting to me, but have you ever seen something that a master craftsman really poured their heart and soul into? I can remember a time when I was at a museum and I was looking at these Japanese, you know, katana swords that are there, and I was just awe-inspired by the craftsmanship that went into this. I mean, these things were hundreds and hundreds of years old, and the technology was so different, but you couldn't make it better today than they did back then. And just being inspired by a master craftsman. You know, how many of you know that God wants to be that master craftsman within our life? You know, if you've noticed in society today, things have shifted and changed. You know, we're always looking for God to just change our circumstances. I mean, think about it a little bit as you're praying and as you're seeking God. Are you seeking God to change your circumstance, or are you seeking God to change you? You know, because God is looking to be the master craftsman in our life. He's looking to create something. He's not looking just to take us out of this circumstance and then we get in trouble and take us out of this circumstance. He's wanting to craft us into something that can handle every circumstance. You know, and we're going to look at three different points on what it means to be forged into that useful tool of God. And the first step we've got to realize is that every life has value. You know, it's very easy for the devil to lie to you and to tell you that you have no gifts and talents and that you weren't meant to be, and to really get us down. You look at depression as such a huge thing in this day and age. They want to devalue you. But let's look in Ephesians 1, 4 through 5. It says, just as he chose us in him before the foundations of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. In love, he presented us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to him according to the kind intention of his will. He says, before the foundations of the world, God had a plan to adopt us as sons and daughters. You know, he wanted to bring us into there. So that's telling us a little bit about the value that we have to God. That before he even created this world, he created a way for us to be sons and daughters of his. How many of us have children in here today? Do you value your children? You know what I mean? As a parent, you value your children above anything else. You know, and it's your job to craft them into the people that they should be for the future. You know, there's a lot of responsibility as a parent to shape them for the future. And that's what God wants to do for us is, you know, he values us beyond anything else. You know, like I would die for my children, he's already died for us. So that shows you the value that he stands within you. But we're always looking for God to just give us something. You know what I mean? The best thing we can do is to be capable. You know, my goal for my children isn't that they would be rich or famous or have this and that, but I wish for them to be capable of caring for themselves. You know, so that they can stand on their own 2 feet and weather any storms that the world would bring to them. And that's what God values us for. So we're going to look at 3 different things that are competing to run your life. How many? There's 3 different aspects that I think are the most things that are trying to run your life. Who's trying to run your life today? The devil? He wants to run your life, right? On the other side of that, we got God who wants to run your life. And somewhere in the middle, you got you that wants to run your life, right? So we've got 3 competing forces that's got trying to guide our life today. And we're going to look a little bit. You know, let's look at the first one as Satan's looking to guide our life. You know, if we look into that forging process, what's the first part of a forging process? We've got to have material to work with, right? You know, like I said, we have value. There's value in these materials. You know, if you look at metal, you got people out there that are sitting there mining this and digging it up from the earth. They expend a lot of energy getting it somewhere, and it's valuable. But it's not valuable in the state that you have it, right? I remember I liked that show, and I was thinking, man, I'm going to make something out of some metal. So I grabbed up a bunch of taconite pellets off the railroad track, and I'm heating them up and trying to smash them together, and they won't stick together, and it won't work. Why is that? Because this is iron ore, not iron. You know what I mean? It's not in its finished process. There's still a lot of other materials in that iron that don't belong in there before you can start to, you know, start to make something out of that. You know, there's a process that's called smelting. You know, you got to smelt it, you got to heat it up, and you got to get rid of the impurities that are within it to be able to use that as a material. You know, and there's the same thing for us. You know, we are valuable in Christ, but not everything that's in our life is valuable. You know, there's parts of our life that need to go through that smelting process. You know, let's look at Acts 26 and 18. It says, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the dominion of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. You know, this is that process of sanctification. You know what I mean? Sanctification is like that smelting process, whereas God starts to call us to become on fire for him. You know, we see this a lot of times with guys that come into the program. You come in broken, and they come in with an idea that, you know, life's gotten messed up, and I need to get rid of some things to make life work again. You know, when you can see a guy just start to become on fire, and they start throwing things off that they never needed. But how do you know it's a lot harder for someone who isn't at rock bottom to have that same experience? Because we just want just a little bit of change or a little bit of this, or we want God to give this, but we're not willing to sacrifice anything else. You know what I mean? We're not willing to get rid of certain things in our life. But sanctification means we enter the fire of God and whatever is impure gets burnt off. And if you can't do that, you can't work with that. You know, if you watch that show and you've seen somebody's trying to weld two pieces of that iron together, they got it in that stove and it's hot as hot can be, and they start hitting it with a hammer and it just starts splitting apart. Because that metal, it's dirty, it somehow wasn't clean enough, and it's not welding together. And what happens with it when it starts doing that? You throw it off on the ground because now it's become useless. You know, at some point, that metal was so valuable that they used large equipment to dig it out of the earth, ship it halfway around the world, but now it's become useless because of the impurities that are in it. And the process wasn't done correctly. I got a few scriptures tonight that we're going to be going through. I got a little bit more than my usual. You know, so we've got to come to this realization that our life is valuable, but not every part of it. You know, let's look in Thessalonians 4. We're going to read 7 and 8. It says, "For God has not called us for the purpose of impurity, but in sanctification, so that he who rejects this is not rejecting man, but the God who gives his Holy Spirit to you." You know, the modern church today is all about feelings. You know what I mean? If you preach a harder message, they're like, "Pastor, I can't take that. He's just preaching in a hateful way, and he's coming at us," and they want to go somewhere else that's going to give them a softer, lovey message that's going to make them feel better. But what does that scripture says? It says, if we weren't called for impurity, and if we reject that sanctification process, are we rejecting man? You know, you can reject your pastor because he convicted you, but by rejecting the words that he said that convicted you, you're not rejecting him, you're rejecting God. You know, God's called us to that sanctification, and we need to open our hearts to realize that if we want to be used by God, we need to let God do a work in us. Not just in the beginning when he called you or when you first came into the church, but this is a process that's going to be going on continuously in your life. You're going to be going into that furnace and burning off these impurities. You know, there's going to be things in our life that need to be changed. And it's not because you're a bad person or because you're not valued, because you are valued and God wants to create something out of you. Amen? We should never feel convicted because we have sin in our life. You should feel convicted for not dealing with sin in your life. There's a big difference. You know, but times have changed. You know, I remember even just watching like half-hour programs back in the day when I was a kid. You know, even the little half-hour programs, they had a message to them. You know, even if it wasn't a godly message, there was a message of what happens when a kid's selfish, you know, and what the fallout of that is, or, you know what I mean, or if their parents were fighting and they didn't get over it. There was always even a little half-hour comedy sitcom usually had some kind of a message to try to better us as people, but today it's changed. We watch things now where we want to just see people randomly get rich and stuff just fall down on them, and there's no message, there's no pointing us in a proper direction, and we got to seek that direction in Christ. Amen? You know, and then there's the next step. Once we get that metal ready, there's the next shape that is the actual forging process. You know, and that brings us to another point where we said, So Satan, he's the one that wants to add things to your life that don't belong. You know what I mean? He wants to add that sin and that impurity and make it so you're not a useful vessel. And then there's that guy in the middle. And, you know, I think Dad, he's described it better than anybody to me, where it sticks in my mind. It says, you know, those three people, we got Lucifer and we got Mesifer. And Lucifer and Mesifer, we get along pretty good. You know what I mean? I always feel like I know what's best for me. You know what I mean? How many people feel that way? You know what I mean? God, he's that master craftsman that wants to forge us into the image of him. Just think about that. God wants to forge you into the image of the one who created the heavens and the earth. You know, the entire universe was crafted by him, and he wants to create us in that image. But we can have the ignorance of thinking that I know better. I know better for my life what I should do than the God of the heavens and earth. You know, and I suffered with that growing up my whole life. Whereas, you know, growing up in church and growing up on the mission field, I always, you know, there was always this voice in my mind that would tell me that I've missed out on something. You know what I mean? I missed out on a regular childhood. You know, I didn't get to go to a regular school. We were homeschooled. You know, I didn't get to, you know, just have regular friends. We were always moving around. You know, and there's always this thought process in my mind that somehow we missed out on an opportunity that normal kids got to have. You know, so as I, when I got to be an adult, I made up my mind that, you know, I'm going to serve God. I love God. It's not that I don't believe in the things that he tells me, but when it comes to my life, I'm going to run my life the way I feel that I should, especially when it comes to my finances, because we grew up poor. We went with, you know, we served God and God met our needs, but we didn't have this overabundance. And that's what the devil would lie to me and say that, you know what, we had to sacrifice so much so that we could serve God. You know, and I thought to myself, I'm going to work hard and I'm going to achieve the things that I didn't get to have when I was a kid, and my kids are going to have the things that I didn't get to have. You know, so Mesifer was taking control of my life. You know, and how do you know, it's amazing how you can work so hard and you can get nowhere. You know what I mean? I worked so hard. I wanted things for my life. I wanted to have a nice car. I wanted to have a nice place to stay. And the more effort I put into it, seems like we just couldn't get ahead. The car would break down. You know, you'd get laid off from this job. Different things would come up, and it just seems like you could never, never get ahead. You know, until you bowed that knee to God. And then I look back, and, you know, I bowed my knee to God, and we went to India for, you know, 8 or 9 years. And we lived off of $500 a month. You know, God met our very needs. And when you start to look at those things, you start to realize that, you know, now that I'm working a regular job every day, I wish I had some of those things that I had as a child. You know what I mean? To go traveling around the world. A lot of the times when I'm talking to my friends, they give you that look, and I know what they're thinking. They're thinking, this guy's full of stories. He's just a liar. You know what I mean? You can tell. I mean, like, I got stories that don't end. We grew up on the mission field. I've seen things that most people have never seen. You know what I mean? When you start telling these stories, you can tell they look, yeah, sure, you know? Because we got to live a life. You know, the devil would lie to you and try to tell you that you had to go without, but we lived a life that most people have never got to dream of. I mean, some of my coworkers have never left Minnesota. They've never seen the ocean. They've never gone anywhere. We were traveling the world around as far back as I can remember. I mean, I've had pet monkeys. I've swam in almost every ocean that there is. You know, we've gotten to do things that most people never even dreamed of. But the enemy wants to lie to you that if you serve God and you let God shape you the way he wants to shape you, you're somehow going to have to go without. And that's a lie. Lie straight from the pit of hell. Let's look at Ephesians 4, 22 and 24. It's that in reference to your former manner of life, that you lay aside your old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts and deceits, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on a new self, which is the likeness of God, being created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. You know, God is that master craftsman. You know, and he starts to mend you and make you into something that resembles him. You know what I mean? In this process, if we can't stay close to God long enough for him to finish this work in us, you know, what happens if you pull that iron out of the fire and you start banging on it even when it's cold? It starts to break apart, don't it? Or it don't start to move at all. You know what I mean? We got to stay close to the things of God, and God's going to start to, he's going to start to make us into something, you know, that's useful to him. You know, and once God's created that shape within our life, and he's crafted us into the image of him, you know, what's the next step in that forging process? Well, see, now if you take that thing out of the forge, they usually quench that thing. You know, and that's signifying the work on it is done. You've quenched it. You know what I mean? Because now you can't start beating on it again. You know what I mean? Once you stick it in that water and you've quenched it, the work is done. But there's still one process left. You know what I mean? And it's called a tempering process. You know, there's a tempering process that has to take place. And usually what that is you'll put it in the oven or you'll put it next to the stove so that it cools and it warms at a rate that is controlled. You know, I've seen so many times that, you know, a lot of the guys, you see it a lot when they come into the program. You know, you come in and you see great gains within people's life because they've surrendered a lot. You know, they got these first two aspects down really well, you know, because when, like I say, when you're at the bottom of life and life is not going well, it's easy to surrender and say, God, I see the enemy's work in my life and I've seen what I've made out of my life. Now you make something new. And they get that smelting and that forging process down. And then all of a sudden, as soon as they move out of the program, they miss this step of this tempering step. And what that is it's called having a consistency for a while. You got to have a consistent temperature in there. And what that does is it changes the very molecules in the metal. Because right after you quench that thing, it's in the shape that it needs to be, but it's brittle. If you try to use it for anything, it might just break in half. You know, but having some consistency, it starts to change the very molecules that are in there. You know, and this is the process that we need to have in our life is if we want to stop having all these ups and downs, we got to have some consistency in Christ. We got to stop running on all these little emotions, and we got to start building a foundation that we can live our life upon. You know what I mean? Because once God does a work in us, this is what Christianity has that anything else does. You know, AA and all these things will tell you that, you know, once you've done this, you're a drunk forever, or you're an alcoholic forever, or you're an addict forever, you're this and that. But God has the capabilities of changing the genetic makeup of who we are. If we can stay close to God and we can get that temper process down within our life, he will change the very makeup of who you are. You know, and you can tell what someone is, what's inside of you. You know, it's easy to come to church and wave your hands and have a great worship time, and then go back out into the world and not a whole lot happened within you. You know, how do you know what's inside a person? You put a little pressure on the outside, and you're going to see what happens on the inside. Amen? I remember when I was a teenager and we were in India, I had my first motorcycle. And I was given one of the guys a ride. And this is a guy that went through the program. He came to India to do ministry. God was doing great things in his life. And having teenagers myself now, I know how scary it can be to drive with a teenager. And in India, it's an even scarier process. So we are actually going down the road, and we almost got into an accident. And all of a sudden, he started letting profanity fly. He was F this and S that and blah, blah, blah. He was shooting out all these curse words. And we pulled over for a second, you know, because that anxiety after almost dying, I didn't want to drive for a second, you know. And he looked at me and he just kind of hung his head. Because you put a little pressure on the outside and what was inside came out. You know what I mean? That's not what he wanted, but there's still something in there that needed to be changed. You know, and then I look on the other hand, you know, my wife, she was in an accident about 10 years ago and almost died hitting a semi. And right before the end, she yells out, Jesus. You know, she calls upon the name of Jesus because when the end was near, that's what was inside. You know, and that's what God wants to do to you. He doesn't want us to have to revert to these other things. You know, he wants to change the makeup of who we are so that even if pressure comes on the outside, what comes out is godly. You know, made into the image of him. You know what I mean? As depression starts sneaking in and putting some pressure, do we then run out and, oh, I need a cigarette. I can't deal with this today. You know what I mean? A little bit of pressure. Oh, I need a drink because I can't sleep tonight. You know what I mean? This is what the enemy's going to do is put pressure on us. And if we haven't changed who we are on the inside, that tempering process, we're going to fail. When we put that tool to the test, it's going to fail because we haven't had enough consistency for God to really get in us. Amen? You know, so these are the first three steps that I want to look at tonight. You know, let's look at James 1, 2, and 4. It says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the test of your faith produces endurance, and the endurance having its perfect result, so that you may be perfect, complete, lacking in nothing. You know, tests are going to come. You know what I mean? So if the pastor puts pressure on you to change your life, that ain't going to change the pressure that you're going to face down the road. You know what I mean? Tests are going to come. God wants to change you as an individual so that you're equipped to handle those. And when you do that kind of stuff often enough, it changes who we are as a person. You know, everything you do consistently will change you. Back when I was running a lot, I was running every day. You know, it changes the genetic makeup of your body. Your lungs actually grow and expand. You have more lung tissue. Your heart can actually get a little larger. Your bone density gets higher because of the damage that you're doing. There's a process that your body changes because of what you're putting it through. You know, and as Christians, if we start to perfect that and stay in Christ, all these tests, all these trials, they're going to actually change and make you up to be something that you never were before. Amen? You know, and the world is scared of this. Because like I said, the enemy would like to lie to you and tell you that if you just let God have full control of your life, that somehow you're going to miss out. You know, they've come across holiness as something that is like withstanding from life. You know what I mean? You think of holiness as, oh, I got to abstain from this and I got to abstain from that. And I miss out on so much because I'm trying to be holy. That's a lie from the enemy, just like the enemy lied to me as a kid that I was missing out. You know, what does the scripture say? In 1 Peter, we're going to read 1, 15 and 16. It says, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves, also in all your behaviors, because it is written, you shall be holy for I am holy. You know, God has called us to holiness. You know, and that's what he wants to complete the work within us is that holiness. And the world's going to tell you that if you pursue holiness, you're going to have to go without in your life. And that's a 100% lie. There, if you want to see God work through you, there is no more way that he's going to do it is if you start pursuing holiness in your life. You know, there's something about holiness that goes beyond what the world has today. You know, I know my biggest fear is when I was a kid, I thought, man, if I bow that knee, I'm going to probably end up halfway around the world serving God just like Dad had to. Maybe. You know what I mean? But God shows you things that you never got to do. And he equips you in a way that, I mean, it's something else. You know, the only way I can explain it is when you start shaking off some of the things of the world, there becomes a clarity within your life. That holiness starts to create a clarity in your life, and God starts to use you in a way that you never thought was possible. You know what I mean? As I started bending my knee to God, it's kind of like, you know, we went camping last fall, and, you know, it was cold enough, all the birds were gone, and at night it's so dark and it's so quiet. I could just lay there and I could hear my heart beating. You know what I mean? You can hear everything. Because if you get away from all the noise and all the distractions, you start to hear things that you never heard before. I mean, I think laying in my bed at home is quiet. But I can't hear my heartbeat at home. But I'm laying there in this tent. I can hear the other guy in the other tent breathing. I can hear my heartbeat. I can hear things that I never heard before. And when we get that same thing in holiness and God in our life, you start to hear things that you've never heard before. You know, I think of that time when I did end up in India serving God because I bent the knee to him. You know, God started using me in ways I couldn't even fathom. I started hearing things that God was speaking to me that I've never heard before. You know, I'd be talking to some Bible school students, and all of a sudden God's voice starts talking to you. You know, and the guy's complaining, and he's saying, you know, life's just not going, and he's not getting the healing, and the things aren't going right. And God starts talking to me and saying, you know what? He hasn't been baptized yet. So I asked him directly. I said, have you been baptized? He said, yes. And we kept talking for a little while. And, you know, God just didn't let it go. He said, no, he hasn't. So I called him out again. I said, you haven't yet. You know, I said, your family in India, if you get baptized, that's the end. You know, you're cut off from your family. You can't go back. You know, that's, you're taking a different path. And he was afraid to do that. So he wanted to keep one foot in God and one foot in his old life. You know, and we called him out on that. And finally he did admit. He said, no, I haven't yet. You know, he's going to Bible school to be a pastor, but he didn't want to fully commit. You know, God starts telling you things like that. He starts giving you discernment, starts wielding power that you never could fathom because you seek holiness within your life. I'm going to have Kirsten, she's just going to sing one last song. And as she does that, I just want us to focus on the words. You know, a lot of these worship songs, we kind of sing them and our mind goes to a different place, but the words are powerful. You know, if we could live some of the words of these worship songs, our life would be an entirely different place. So as she starts to sing the song, just take a moment to reflect. If God is speaking to you tonight that there's some things in this forging process in your life, either there's some sinful things that you need to go through the smelting process and burn off, or maybe you haven't surrendered that knee to God and say, God, let your will be done within my life. You know what I mean? We need God, and as we start to pursue holiness in our life, he's going to start to use you like never before. Amen?
Red. Have to add a whole lot there. We like things pure, things true. Amen. That ain't never going to change. Not here anyway. God wants to clean house, take us into eternity, that we can be close to the Lord. Amen. And that's what we want in our lives, praise God. And we got some that are struggling. And they'll keep struggling until they let God do something, you know. But we all have that choice to just push on forward, praise God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for who you are. We especially thank you for what you can do. Lord, we want a willing heart. God, cleanse our heart, oh God. Make it ever new. Lord, let your songs come alive in us. Let your spirit come alive. Lord, use us for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God.